Your choice of Arby's meal. What would your Arby's meal be?
Well, my kids really like roast beef. I have never liked roast beef the entire time I've grown up. And I've had, you know, Arby's was in my hometown. There was an Arby's in my hometown before there was a McDonald's. There was a time, kind of like you, you had to drive about 15 miles to get to a McDonald's. Arby's, as long as I can remember. So that's part of my childhood and growing up. But I never liked roast beef. So I choose the chicken bacon Swiss sandwich, which I think is a phenomenal sandwich.
Now, do you taste the Swiss in the cheese?
I do. I do. I think okay. The whole palate is satisfied. I give it 5 hats.
Oh,
wow. A 5-hat rating. That may be the first time we've ever had that on this podcast. And here's why I'm asking. If it was just the chicken bacon sandwich, would you still order it?
Oh, no, I love cheese. And so when I go to Sonic, and we haven't talked about Sonic.
We do not have Sonic.
If you don't mind, I'm going to take over now.
Which does not come with cheese. I order the cheese.
Thank you, Anthony.
Cheese single on it. I like cheese.
And
so I think the cheese does something.
Up in this brain.
Cheese and bacon.
Jason.
You can't go wrong.
Oh, I don't.
For opening up Dix and Jean's podcast, number 495, we're going to phase that out. I'm going to stop it and come back to it because I'm not going to miss any of that. That's the drive-through diaries. it's hard to believe. I really like that show. Well, now, why would that be hard to believe? Of course I like it. I like the two people who are doing it. If it was two complete strangers doing it, well, first of all, they wouldn't do it as well as these two guys do it. These two guys are masters at drive-throughs, obviously. Or they just wouldn't have picked that topic. But am I digging a hole here? No, I like that. I deliberately tuned that. Of all the podcasts I could have listened to have in the background while I started this podcast, my own, I chose that one. I chose that one. And I was very happy to see it in my feed today. And you can too. Just, Google Anthony Marco and go to... He has a shitload long stream of podcasts, and you can listen to any one of them. You might have to dig a bit for this one. It's part of the old formerly Talking Is Dead podcast. I used to think I was one of the few listeners who liked that podcast. Now it's become highly specialized. It's evolved, and there are different categories. And I listen to them. I listen to them all. All right, enough of a plug there. Let's get back to me, eh? Come on. It's my podcast. You can hear those guys anytime you want. But they were talking about Arby's. We had an Arby's here, and I'm back on those guys, all right? I was amazed as I listened to it. I kept sort of shouting out, no, what do you mean Swiss Chalet's no good? I love their chicken. Joel and, what's his name, Eric, out in Calgary, were bad-mouthing Swiss Chalet. I love Swiss Chalet. Our treat on the weekend, very often, is to get the whole family chicken dinner. It costs you about $30, but you get a whole damn chicken. We always get 2 fries and 2 coleslaw, the fresh buns, and the gravy. And I love all of it. I don't know why anybody... I don't know what chicken you can get that's better unless you're a Montrealer, and you'll say Saint-Hubert barbecue. Ding-a-ling-ling, that's all you do. Put Saint-Hubert barbecue. And that probably is the competition. But anyway, I'm not going to argue with these people. But the Arby's we had on Kingston Road, just if you're coming down, if you're shaking the torque cut, or taking the shortcut, whatever one you want, to come to Bluffers Park, you'd come very close to what was an Arby's. And number two son and I used to go. We were the only two who went. Nobody else. Never went with number one son. Never went with my wife. It was number two son and I would go there and have our special curly fries, which I really liked. And I'm with Jason. I'm not crazy about the roast beef, but I don't think we had such an extensive menu. And anyway, it's closed. It's now a Tim Hortons. It's a Tim Hortons, and I'm sorry to see it go. First Arby's I ever went to was in Yokohama, Japan, if you can believe that. Of course you can. that I'd never seen it before. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. There was a street, not Bashimichi Doherty, a street that led down to Yamashita Koen, Yamashita Park. And that's, if you know Yokohama, how many of our listeners do? Well, Rob Balser, if he still listens, he knows. Huge, long, wonderful park to explore when you go to Yokohama. You always go to Yamashita Koen. But there was a shopping street that went down there. I can't remember the name. And they had a Tower Records at one end. And not far away from that was an Arby's. So it was like a westernized street. A lot of Japanese. And we're talking early days. We're talking the early 80s when it was still cool to have American things around. So a lot of Japanese would go to that street on the weekend to buy the music, check out the clothing, check out the furniture. And it was a very, very neat area. But they had an Arby's. And now I'm sorry that there are no Arby's anywhere near Scarborough anymore. I would definitely be going there and having that as an alternative for a takeout. But anyway, geez, I didn't mean to talk. There's another show. If you want to hear all about fast food and drive-thrus, listen to them, not me. It's January 30th, 2015. And I know where I was exactly 25 years ago today. I know exactly where I was and I know exactly how I felt. And that's because it's my number one son's birthday. Number one son, who is still in Taiwan, who posted a picture of The Rock. By the way, if you follow me on Facebook, I've probably invited you anyway if you're listening to this show. But if you're not, and I know some people aren't on Facebook or don't bother with it anymore, I made a page just for The Rock. It's called Friends of The Rock. I don't know if you need an invite or not, but contact me if you do, if you want one, if you want to get in on it. And I was really happy to see people like Mark Blevins posting pictures up there. And it's just for The Rock. Photographs of The Rock, a little bit of The Rock history, people who've had it, where it is now. My son contributed the very first picture because I said, look, it's never been to Taiwan. We need a photo of The Rock in Taiwan. So he took a picture. I posted it because I got the picture and it inspired me to say, hey, I was on my way to see my therapist. I'm backtracking, you know, sidetracking, whatever. On my way in to see my therapist, I didn't have enough money, didn't have enough time. Funny how those two together go together so well. Not enough money, not enough time. Didn't have enough time to pay bills, which, reminds you, I still haven't done it. Or, no, submit reimbursement forms for my wife's health care stuff. I just didn't feel like doing it. But I figured, oh, I've got just enough time to make a Facebook page, a little group or whatever it is, a special page for The Rock. And I did that, and I was really happy I did, because immediately I got some responses, and people can now post, and so we have now a collective place, because Barnacle Bill out in Vancouver, who's always taking good care of The Rock, has bemoaned the fact that we haven't kept up to date the list. We made t-shirts, oh God, must have been 15 years ago at least, maybe even longer. T-shirts for The Rock, and it listed, there was a picture of The Rock on the front, right over the left breast, and said, Rock on, you know, something like that. And then on the back, a globe, you know, planet Earth, and then a list of all the countries it had been at that time. And those t-shirts, of course, are collector's items now. I still have mine, a little bit ratty. And I also, for the same price, threw in Dixon Jane's hats. Sorry if I've told you this before, but I think we're getting at the point where we're thinking about getting new Dixon Jane's t-shirts. And there might be some of you out there now. We might have a few more people to make it more of a, more economical to actually have these things done properly. Anyway, where were we? I was sidetracking, backtracking, shortcutting. Dixon Jane's t-shirts, this place. And oh yeah, Barnacle Bill wants a better record, wants to update the list of countries it's been to. And it's been to almost all the states, you know. I don't know about Hawaii. Alaska? We went to Alaska. No, we didn't have The Rock. That was pre-Rock days. Rock didn't start in motion to 1982, the fall of 1982. And it's certainly been Circle the Planet a few times since then, but also picked many, many unique destinations. Always in the care of a good keeper of The Rock. And so I was pretty happy to pass it on to number one son as he launches off on one more journey. Not quite sure what he wants to do with his life yet. So figures in the meantime, work, save money, travel. And I figure that's a pretty good formula. And back to where we started on this. 25 years ago today, he was born in Yokohama, in Kawasaki, I'm sorry, Kawasaki, Japan. And I was there for the birth, for the actual birth, which was actually from my my wife did a very nice job of it. It's pretty easy. All right, I'm due. I'm ready. Let's go. And had the baby. And I still have a photograph of the doctor holding him. Just like, I think the umbilical cord still attached. I still have the umbilical cord. They give them to you in Japan. And a little tape, cassette tape recording of his first cry. Apparently that's important too. I have those hidden away somewhere. And sadly, I was not able to be at the birth of my second son because I had to stay behind and look after my first son. So the neighbors drove my wife into the very same clinic, very close to our house. And number two son was born the same month. We just celebrated his 23rd birthday. 25 years ago, I didn't know what to do after I got in there. And, hey, it ties in. Because on his very first day, he was in, they had an infirmary for all the babies staying together. They want the mother to get rest. The mother stays in for about a week, and they want the mother to have rest. And so they put the baby in a very comfortable place, a little crib, well looked after, and they just sort of bring it back to the mother for feeding. And so while I'm looking in at him behind this glass window, I tapped on the window with the rock. So my son saw the rock. Wow, I bet you he doesn't know that. On his very first day, I don't know that he actually saw it, but I made sure the rock was there for the birth of my son 25 years ago today. Wow, hey, I didn't know I was going to be talking about that. That's kind of exciting. And suddenly I'm filled with joy. This is quite exciting indeed. And now he has it. Now, 25 years later, this young lad is off traveling on his way to Singapore next. And finally to Melbourne, where he will hand it back to one of the original founding fathers. There are four founding fathers. One of them is the man we nicknamed the boy, Barnacle Bill, and the Nova Scotia guy. And myself, of course. And I was the one. I will take credit, and I will say it right here now. I don't mind saying it, and nobody can argue. I was the one who actually put the rock in motion by picking it out of that magic circle high up on the cliff over the Bay of Fundy. They sent me up. We were all quite, let's say, in a nice, very high, pleasant state of mind. And these guys said, man, you got to see this circle. Climb back up there. And I climbed back up, saw the circle, and there was a calling. Bam, without any thinking at all. Reach down. Boom. I didn't go eeny, meeny, miny, mo. It was just this one. Came right into my hand, came back down, and then got royal shit for wrecking the magic circle. And thereafter, it's been in motion, sometimes in hiding. Spent 2 years in the toe of a shoe in a shoebox in a basement in Lachine before it actually ended up back in my shaving kit in my toilet in Yokohama. So, it was off to a very slow start. A slow start. But there it is. So much for the rock. It's bright, sunny, and damn cold and windy, so I am sitting cozily in my car for the first day. Damn it. It snowed a little more than usual here, so they closed off the Cat Side parking lot again, as they do every winter. So I'm in the boat launch side now, just parked and looking out at the semi-frozen lagoony area, which is actually a boat launch area, but it's ice now. I don't know what else I have to talk about. I guess I just wanted to kickstart this thing and get going. I just posted yesterday, of course, 494, and I had fun with it, and I was glad to see that Doug took it well, as I hoped he would, because I certainly did go on a bit about my own attempts at creativity, which are still going on. All right, I'm starting to fidget, so I guess that's it. I guess I'll just stop right now. That's probably all I needed to do. What do? We did the birth of my son. We did his birthday, the anniversary, 25 years. We did The Rock. We did Arby's, which was a connection to my number two son. Just one more thing, just teaching. I do complain. I'm Friday, 8:30 class. I got to get my son into his 7:30 a.m. class, which I think is ridiculous. What a bloody schedule. Finish at 8:30 Thursday night, got to be back in for 7:30 Friday morning. What a fucking lousy schedule, you know? This is the college I teach at. They changed all our desks around, so you're still sharing. I won't whine about that, but damn it, that's also annoying. You don't go in and just sit at your desk. Well, you can't as a part-time teacher. I get that part. I get that part. No more complaining. But when I get in there, I really like both my classes. I like this level. It's a slightly lower level in terms of their ability in English. A good portion of the class is Indian, of this particular class, from India. And then a mix for the rest of the class. A couple of Spanish speakers and Chinese, Korean. And I really enjoy it. Podcasting, Anthony said this the other day, and I've said it before on this show, podcasting has made me a better teacher. And I can get up there, and I don't have to have it planned. I know what I can alter into. And the thing is, I know the material, so I know we're teaching the difference in a simple, a compound, a complex sentence. We're doing sentence structure. I have the answers for the book, for the readings, for when you're pulling out what's the main idea, what are the supporting ideas, and the basic. But I also know the test, so I can always stop and remind them, okay, what I'm teaching you now, this is important. This is what you have to know. And I can place the emphasis in the right way that everybody tunes in, everybody listens. I get everybody to speak in every class every time I teach them. Go around, I make them read out loud, I correct their pronunciation, not to embarrass them, but in a nice way that everybody gets it. And I get great pleasure at it. And again, this goes back to maybe creativity. There is an art to teaching, and it's oddly enough, you've heard me bitch for a long time about just losing my mind and my memory and everything else, but I'm actually almost at a peak in teaching this very simple one class. Now, if I had a whole shitload of class and if I was back to teaching 5 days a week, I couldn't handle that anymore and I'd be burned out. But with the load I've got now, a Monday 3:30 class and a Friday 8:30 class, two classes a week, wow, perfect. Nice fit, nice timing. And that's one of the things you want to do in life. You know, balance here. We always talk about the balance between your workload and your private life and maybe your artistic creative life and all the other things. And again, there is a really nice fit to all of it. So that's all. Just raving about the fact that I'm enjoying the teaching very much. And it feels like worthwhile time and I feel like I'm really connecting. And I like that part of it. All right, so I'm going to go back and listen to the fast food and then head on home. I've got to pick up some coffee and get things done there. So let's leave it at that.
But I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We are choosing to go to Arby's here.
That's true. And they do have a high-quality bacon. I don't know how exactly what they're doing there, but it does seem to be like Sonic, not as good bacon. Arby's, pretty good bacon.
Well, I figure when you've mastered getting the cheapest cut of beef that you can, perhaps they're spending a little bit extra on some of the other meats.
When you don't have to pay for exterior illumination, you can afford better bacon. And that could be at their bacon budget. They had to turn out the lights. They could be lying to us.
Thanks, boys. Much appreciated.
What about your beverage? What do you choose to get for your beverage?
You're going to have to listen to them to find out what beverage they choose. I don't think we got all those options at our Arby's. It seemed to me there were very, very few things on the menu. All right, thanks, boys. Bye for now.
It's the kind of coffee, if you're camping, you might pick that up.
Hey, Nabob.
That's the only time.
Camping coffee.
If you're camping, you might pick that up.
Yeah.
Because when you go to the store on your campgrounds, they'll have that Nabob. One lone package of Nabob sitting there. And you'll go, I didn't think they'd still made this.
Yeah, and you go, you're actually there to get a bottle of rye at the camp store and some fire starter, you know, which is always a great combination.
Some Players Unfiltered and rye. That's what you're looking
for. You walk to the back section under the LCBO banner.
Exactly. The licensed LCBO. Yeah, perfect. Exactly.
Then you fill out the requisition sheet.
Exactly.
You know, there, right. Bob.
I'm going to cut these gentlemen off here.
It doesn't surprise me.
You know where to find them.
Brand of coffee produced by Kraft Foods, sold in Canada. Basically,
anybody who listens to my podcast knows where to find those three gentlemen, Anthony, Dave, and Bob.
Okay. Anyway, I can't say that I am raising...
I just love the whole idea
or debate here.
Of sharing and having these friends out there. I'm saying that. But I've got to tell you, I'm a little nervous right now. I'm sitting in my car facing the Eglinton Go parking lot. You know the routine. It's almost 1 a.m. Sunday morning. And facing me, just across the road, is a police car. And they've already left. I mean, they were there when I got off the bus, when I got off the 86 and walked across the road over to my car. They were there. And then they zipped down. Looks like they followed somebody. And then circled back, and now they're there. I guess they're just sort of waiting for speeders. Remember, now that I think about it, last time I was here, I was talking about, God damn it, the cars are going so fast. Well, you can see that cop car from a long distance away. I saw it even from the bus. So maybe they're watching their speed. But it makes me just a little nervous about starting up right now, because I got a belly full of red wine, I'll tell you. Had a little house party we went to. I'm not going to talk too much about that, but off to a little house party, and there was a lot of wine consumed. And this time, for a change, and to be a good house guest, it's actually a housewarming party, I bought my vaporizer so there wouldn't be any odor of, you know, marijuana and cigarette papers, or wrapping papers, smoking papers. Instead used my, cleaned it out and used my, lovely vaporizer, which I hardly ever use. You never hear me talking about it on this show. It's a bit of a bother. You got to fill it up, you know, and, but I don't know why I don't, because man, it's really nice. And you just truly only get vapor. You don't get any smoke. You're not coughing or anything. And, I charged it up today, plugged it into, you know, you can plug it right into the USB port on any computer. And charge up that battery. I had had to clean it out a little bit. And there we go. Anyway, that means I am in I don't know, what kind of a state of mind here? State of mind where I'm really enjoying listening to Best Episode Ever on the Anthony Marco Broadcasting Network, Podcasting Network. I'll have to go back to that. And what have I got to add? You know, probably not much. No great insights, no rants, complaints. I talked a little. Brian was at this gathering I was at and, you know, reflected on, Jesus. Being a little older than today, I didn't do much more than just nap. No, that's not true. I actually did post a picture of my father's Morse code key, VE2YP, his lovely little, I think it was called a Vibroplex, made in New York, and it's just a lovely piece of equipment. Weighs very heavy, and just the kind of stuff that's just not made anymore because it's full of things you can adjust, you know, levers and bolts and nuts and things you can slide. Do you get that key, your Morse code key we're talking about, just exactly right for your particular touch, you know? He had other ones. He had another lovely little black one, too, just your standard, basically, that you know, you push down on. This is sort of a side key. This is one you push from the side, and I guess there's a little red button for your index finger and then your thumb as well, I suppose. I never learned. He never taught us. I never learned Morse code. Although, probably in Boy Scouts, we probably did a little bit of it. We did semaphore. I remember certainly doing semaphore. God, eh? The change in times and expectations and what kids learn and know and don't know. But there's no topic there, so I'm just gonna stop it. This is just a little friendly greeting, or maybe I'll just tack a song on here and let it go at that. Yeah, I'm just waiting for that cop car to leave so I can leave. That's all. That's all that's sort of needling me now. I mean, he's across the street. There's a traffic light. He's not looking at me at all. He's waiting for cars to come speeding down along the Eglinton here, you know, heading downhill. He's just watching for speeders. But still, you know, you feel, technically, yeah, if you pulled me over, yeah, I'm probably going to fail a breathalyzer. The confessions I make on the Dixon Janes podcast. Ooh. Luckily, this is all done under the name of a persona, the Scarborough Dude, and of course none of this is real. This is just my story. It's just like Norbert Augustinus. Like, nothing he's telling you is real. It's just stories, you know, we make in character. Yeah. Signing out. Scarborough Dude. Bye for now. I know I got
night.
Chick. Lately, I've been, starting off the podcast with somebody else's podcast in the background. But although I am listening to the latest love-hate things, that's my standard. I think if there's one part, if I can only pick one, oh boy, this is going to hurt some people. Well, it won't hurt, except for Tip Tap Tip. Because they say, you got to listen to them and nobody else. Oh, yeah? You can't make me. If there's one I sort of need on a regular basis, and I had to give up, another bunch, it would be Love Hate Things. That's sort of my standard that I come back to. Of course, mine would be first. I wouldn't give up the Dixon James podcast. But going beyond that, Love Hate Things, because it gives you an update of what Anthony's up to. And Anthony has become the central figure in Canadian podcasting. And I think it's wonderful. I think it's great. And he sort of filled in a way, picked up from where Bob and Mark left off. And because, they did their duty, and maybe the day will come down the road of this. This will keep going. When Anthony says, hey, I've done my share. I got to run for prime minister now, and somebody else will have to pick up the podcasting. Speaking of prime minister, my God, I am so worried, as are many people, that the NDP and the Liberals will split the vote and leave it to the Conservative Party of Prime Minister Harper to walk right back in. And that's what they're hoping for. And I'm conflicted because I'm wanting to support young Trudeau in the Liberal Party. I've usually been a Liberal Party. But something still smells about the party. You still feel, man, even if they get in, there is going to be more cases of waste and corruption and the same old shit is going to come back. And we don't want that. And yet I don't fully trust the NDP party to do a job of running the country just yet. And what I would like to see is maybe a Liberal, minority government with the support of the NDP to keep going, or even some coalition between those two. But man, oh man, not another round of the Conservatives. And what they're saying is in times of uncertainty and fear and anxiety, very often, people vote for the party that's already in power to stay the course. And that's what Harper's counting on. And I do fear that a lot of new Canadians will vote with the winner, the one who's already perceived. I mean, Harper, to many people, looks like a Canadian. He's white. He's respectable. He wears a suit and tie. And he's just got the makings of somebody sort of normal, which is what a lot of people want Canada to be. And for those same reasons, they wouldn't trust the lefty Mulcair or the rookie Trudeau. And man, oh man, it's scary of what could happen. Anyway, here I am. We're not going to talk all politics this time. I'm at Bluffers Park on a Sunday afternoon. This is Super Bowl Sunday. So I've just gone out and bought some frozen heat-em-ups, from M&M, which is just up the street from me, and then very close to me, too. I live in a great location, really. I mean, there's just an LCBO close by. I could walk to any of these if I was so inclined, but I don't because I'm coming home with heavy things. An LCBO and a beer store, and an M&M, and everything. A Tim Hortons, a McDonald's, and lots more. I really, do like it where I am. And we'll be staying here for another 10 years, I hope. God willing. This wrist, I've got it bandaged or wrapped up in my wrist guard now. It's still bugging the hell out of me, but nothing I can do about that. It's just a matter of time, we hope, to heal it. Listen, last podcast, remember when I got in that big snit, and I had fun doing with it, and thanks, Doug, for the special sound effects that contributed unknowingly, but probably you thought I might do something with them. I don't know. I said, I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing. You know, if I got a new plan, I'm not going to tell you. Who is that? Who's that voice? I recognize it. I'm not telling. Anyway, sorry. Now I'm going to tell, yeah. My latest plan, and this is what I was trying to make, the point I was trying to make last time, it's all in progress. It's all in motion. It's all moving. So the latest plan here now for the book I'm not writing is just to do blog posts. And I may have even talked about this before, but I keep coming back to it. And each blog post would be a certain topic or memory or something. And I would just put them up there. And you can read them, follow them, and I do one as often as I feel like doing. Wouldn't be on a regular schedule. Might be every 3 days. Might be every week. Might be, who knows. Just go up. You follow, it'll be a blog. I've also thought that this title, Baby Sally Talks, would be better suited for the blog post. And I'd have to come up with a new name for the podcast that I want to do, interviewing people about creativity and so on. And the title for that one would be What Makes You You? Because that's really what I want to find out about. What makes us all so unique? I mean, I've got Squidpod Joel up on deck for the next person I'm going to interview. And what makes him him? Like, it's very interesting. When you listen in on him and Eric talking about their childhood in Calgary and their time in art school, I want to know about that stuff. I want to know who is the Joel today by knowing, well, who was the guy in the past? Like, what are all the things that shaped him? I mean, that guy's got an interesting story, a very interesting story. And here he is now, you know, settled down, father, a couple of kids. Holy moly. So let's call that one temporarily for now. We'll see what happens. No longer Baby Sally Talks. Baby Sally Talks will be my blog posts. With me in the position of Baby Sally, the person who grew up from Baby Sally in the Dixon Jane's readers. Sorry, I had a big free, you know, you get 7 stickers from your McDonald's coffees and you get a free one. So I got a nice big free one here. I will write those posts. Now, today, I had great fun while I was doing my morning pages, which is this writing you're supposed to do when you follow the artist's way, to think, okay, I've just been writing bits and pieces all over the place I haven't been focused for a couple of weeks, and the writing is becoming more and more sparse and disconnected and so on. So today I thought, all right, why don't you pretend you're writing that first blog post? And so I wrote something down and I'm going to read it to you. And again, A couple of things I want to point out, qualifiers. Number one, I'm breaking the rules of grammar intentionally. I know what the rules of sentence structure are. I know very well because it's exactly what I have to teach in my Comm 140 class, How Do You Make a Sentence? And I find it really funny. God damn, my wrist is sore. I'm holding the recorder. Hang on while I just put the recorder up here in the visor. Yeah. Hello? Oh, God. Sorry. All right, we're back. We're back. Don't panic. We're back. Where were we? Yeah, sentence structure. So I noticed when I was writing, I would deliberately, not deliberately, it just naturally, I would break the rules. That's not a sentence. There's no conjunction there. You can't, that's a comma splice. That's this, that's that, you know? And yet that's the way I talk, and that's the way I want to express myself. So, number one qualifier, don't come and say, oh my God, the guy doesn't know how to write a sentence. I know exactly what I'm doing in that regard. And number two is that these things will be a work in progress. So even if I post a blog, I might come back a day later and completely change a sentence, change a paragraph. It's always going to be a work in progress. In other words, this is the next stage of the process, the doing. So I started thinking, I mentioned a couple of times now, those days in Vancouver, North Vancouver in particular, where I first started off, how much fun they were. I lived all over. I lived in the West End, the downtown, you know, the high-rise section, when you could rent apartments cheaply, and they're easy to find. But eventually moved to the North Shore, which I loved a lot. I really liked North Vancouver. And I had a wonderful apartment. So, this first story is about my apartment in North Vancouver. So, here goes. It was the realization of a dream years in the making, conjured up during my last couple of years at St. George while I was still commuting in from my parents' home in Lachine, my first apartment. North Vancouver, 1974. It's gone now, a heritage building, but there was a fire. Right on the corner of Lonsdale and West 2nd Street, midway between the St. Alice and the Olympic, two of the North Shore's sleazier and more interesting drinking establishments. The Alice was the favorite, with a hidden-away cockatoo lounge, exotic, dark, and shuttered off from the outside world, where you could sneak in for afternoon drinks without anyone finding you. Bogart and Bacow would have been right at home here, and no one would have paid them any attention. But for fun, we frequented the great beer parlor side, with its shuffleboard and clientele made up mainly of longshoremen and natives from the Squamish Reserve just down the road. Never a dull moment. Our favorite waiter, Blackie, got a kick out of telling us he once went to London, England, in full Indian regalia, complete with multi-feathered headdress, for some historic occasion now forever lost to history. He used to hide his peach schnapps at our table so he could sneak drinks all night without the bartender catching him. Sometimes there was a country band or just a local singer getting up on her own to belt out crowd favorites. The drunker we got, the better she sang. The Olympic leaned toward the biker side, with pole dancers you didn't want to see too clearly. You only went there when you're already drunk, and even then it was a mistake. For a real good night out, you'd light up a pipeful, put on a record, and watch out the bay window for the next sea bus crossing the harbor from downtown Vancouver. And you'd know to the minute how long you had to barrel down Lonsdale to Queen's Quay and hop on that outgoing sea bus to meet up with your friends at the Canby Hotel for the first few rounds, and probably winding up stumbling around the dance floor at the Marble Arch with ladies you hoped you wouldn't wake up to, or you wouldn't wake up beside the next morning. It was a great apartment. All right. Messed up a little on the reading, that's fine. And perhaps read a little too quickly in nervousness and stumbled on a few words here and there. But what I liked about it, it starts off, it's, you know, the fulfilling this dream, my first apartment, and ends with, it was a great apartment, but I don't even describe the apartment. The whole thing is about, wow, you're living in North Vancouver, you're just out in the bars and you're drinking. So I will come back to that. Anyway, I'm not going to explain, I'm putting it out there and saying, hey, that's the first sampling, that may or may not be my first post from the 70s in North Vancouver. And what I like about this idea of doing blog posts is I can completely, there's no need to connect any of them. They can just jump around. From there, I could do the Chilkoot Trail, which actually fits because we hatched the plan to hike the Chilkoot from that very same Canby Hotel. And, God, from there, back to Dorval, back to Lachine, back to Valleyfield, off to Whitehorse, into Dawson City and Prince George, and just on and on and on, whatever, wherever the spirit takes me. And so it'll be practice, and not a finished product, but who knows, in the end, if we just do enough of these and polish them up, they may fit. So that's the latest. I actually wanted to share that with you. I felt productive today, actually, doing that. I like it for now. Probably not in your eyes, but of course for mine. Like, I'm amazed as I started picturing it. Like, I could picture the inside of that cockatoo lounge. Now, these are places like you would, this would have been left over from the 50s, maybe 40s. And you'd never find a place like that again, you know, just a little bar there. And it was just, I mean, it so easily could have been out of some old black and white Bogart film. And the Alice, like, I was thinking about, who was that waiter? Who was, we had our favorite waiter, an older guy, white hair. And he really would. He'd come by with his peach schnapps and sort of has back to the bar and he'd place it on our table and said, don't touch that, that's mine. I'll be coming back for it. And he'd come back, like, to take our order with his back to the bar, and then he'd just guzzle this stuff down and then park another one there so he could drink all night while he was working. But I'm amazed, like, suddenly I asked somebody in North End, oh, man, who was that guy? And boom, the name came to me, Blackie. And so what's surprising me, you know how I talk about on this podcast, I've got no memory anymore. Well, this is very interesting. As I start to conjure up these images and go back and visit these places, it's coming back clearly, and things that I thought were lost are actually very vivid memories and very strong still. I had to ask what was the name of the Indian band, and it is a Squamish Reserve. I didn't couldn't remember that. So there'll be pieces I'll have to check, you know, hey. But we're going more for atmosphere than the exact, you know, dates and accuracy. The stories will be true. There were times, man, oh man, but I'd end up in the Marble Arch, and I remember hopping into a taxi with, I don't know a nice way of putting this, like a politically correct way of saying, they happened to be Aboriginal women who had a cousin on the other side of town who had a place where we could continue our party. And you were able to buy, like, off sales at the Marble Arch or some of these other bars. So you'd get out, flag down a taxi. And I remember myself and Barnacle Bill, oh, my God, ending up in some guy's basement apartment, like, waking them up. There's no way this cousin or friend or whoever wanted a bunch of drunks at his place at closing time. It was probably 2, 3 in the morning, pounding on the door to get in and keep the party going. And, you know, we just sort of looked at each other and looked around and thought, holy fuck, how did we get here? And we had one hell of a long walk home, crossed the Canby Street Bridge, and you think, wow, what a crazy night. Man, oh man, that kind of freedom, that kind of stupid, drunken, crazy feeling of just wild abandon. Let's just go. Let's just do it. Why not? That's precious. That's something that I certainly don't have in my life now, and I think it's a pretty hard thing to come by these days. Anyway, I had guardian angels. We all did. And we survived. So I guess that's all I wanted to share with you right now. There's a lot more from there. I don't know what'll come next or even if this one will go forward. It's a matter of deciding yes or no or maybe or revamp or start all over. But the idea of having bits and pieces of memories as blog posts right now sits pretty well with me. And that would be the blog I've already started, but I haven't posted anything on Baby Sally Talks. All right. Scarborough Dude, signing out. Got to go back to love-hate things now and continue on with seeing what Anthony has to share with us. He was complaining about the snow coming and missing meetings.
I enjoy learning. I enjoy talking to people that I would never ever have a chance to talk to otherwise. It's like scheduling a coffee with a friend, you know, once every week or 2 weeks, and you sit down and you talk about stuff that you share an interest in.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll leave it there.
So
thanks, Anthony.
That's going to be a panel that looks like it'll be a go.
He's talking about PodCamp Toronto.
An individual.
Oh, I hope you do an individual.
I don't know.
You should, Anthony, because they're good.
On my gamut of PodCamp.
Yeah, you can repeat them, man. You got a new audience. Go ahead.
You know, I did a couple last year. And
yeah, we like them.
I can't say that I get grand attendance, and that's not my major concern because last year, which actually didn't have too many people in it.
Which one was that?
I still enjoyed doing.
It was very much just on the idea of why you should be doing a personal podcast and all of that stuff. And
see, that's exactly what I want to hear. So we'll see. I've decided I don't want a new one. I've just sort of given up.
I would love at some point to just essentially say, hey, anybody who wants to make their first podcast, show up in this room at this time, and we'll show you how to do a podcast.
Yeah, it's a good idea, too. Okay, folks, PodCamp Toronto coming up. Don't miss it. There's going to be another Marshall McLuhan podcasting hour? No, Marshall McLuhan something hour gathering at PodCamp Toronto. And it's quite funny because I could have told you what it was going to be. Supper at Johnny Rockets and then spend Friday evening in the Imperial Pub Library, second floor. Yeah, looking forward to it. That's going to be a blast. That's going to be a real blast. All right, boys, girls, Scarborough Dude, signing out. Looking forward to seeing many of you from the area at PodCamp Toronto. February, what, 22nd, I think? It's coming up. It's this month. We're already in February. February 1st today, I think. Anyway, I got to go home. I got to watch the halftime Super Bowl and bought my son a case of Foster's just because it was cheap and he didn't want any of my special fancy damn beer. So, hey, all right, have a Foster's. All right, boys, girls, Scarborough Dude, very happy today. Very, very, very happy at just about everything. Just feeling good. Just feeling good. And there's nothing wrong with feeling good. There ain't nothing bad about feeling good. Oh, yeah. Bye for now.
Okay, I'd like to, well, it's another surprise. I'm going to make another Skype call. You remember the last one was a little bit of a disaster. Well, it was just me trying to hold a two-way conversation. This time I'm going to make a real call. I've been saving up for this. I haven't felt ready. I do feel ready now. I'm a little bit nervous because it's, again, it's going to be live. I've sort of prearranged, and I may as well let the cat out of the bag right now. I contacted my good friend Dave over at Chub Creek, and he's agreed to take the call if I reach him. So I'm going to do that right now, so bear with me. I hope this works. It should.
Ethel, why is the computer making that noise?
I don't know.
Ethel?
Hello?
What's going on?
Dave?
Ethel, the computer is talking.
Well, talk back. Hello?
Dave?
Hang on. Hang on a minute. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Ethel?
Who is this?
Okay, Mr. Computer Voice, who the hell are you?
Excuse me, this is the Scarborough Dude. I'm calling Dave.
What?
It's a Skype call.
Ethel, someone's on the computer.
Did I get the right number?
Hello? What? I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Who
is this?
Who's this?
Ethel.
Ed, who are you talking?
Ed.
To?
What? Hey, how come you know what my name is? Who is this? You're some kind of freak show, aren't you?
Is this Ed? Is this Ed from Chub Creek?
Who wants to know? How do you know about the Chubby Cheek Show? This is very
holy shit.
What?
I've been a huge fan of yours, Ed. This is.
Yeah.
This is better than talking to Dave. No, I'm...
Hmm?
This is amazing.
You're blazing?
Ethel, somebody's on fire on the computer.
Sorry?
Call the fire department.
What? Are you all right? You want me to call the fire department? Why don't you just call 911?
Ed, I...
Oh, goodness, hmm? Is he okay?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Hey, if you're looking for naked pictures, there are...
No, this... It's the Scarborough Dude. I'm a friend of Dave.
The Marlboro Dude.
Hang up on
was you. That some kind of a homosexual thing?
No, I'm a podcaster.
Ethel, it's another podcast thing.
That's nice,
Ed.
Yeah, a podcast. I've got lots of podcasts on my eye pocket.
It's called Dicks and Janes.
Dick? What? Dick and Jane? You're not a pedophile, are you?
Excuse, is there someone else there I could talk to?
Ethel, he wants to talk to you.
Ed, what are you doing over here? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes. Yes, go ahead. Hello?
Hello, is this Ethel?
Yes, this is Ethel. Have you been rude to my Ed? You better...
No, I'm not one of those rude people.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
No, I'm a friend of Dave's. I was trying to contact Dave.
Oh, young David. I see. Why are you calling Ed and talking about homosexuals? Is that what you're up to, young man?
No.
Are you in denial? You shouldn't be ashamed of that.
Okay.
It's healthy. Just pick on someone your own age and not old men and old ladies.
All right.
I mean, it's a little bit disgusting calling an old man with that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And next time, use some manners and use your head.
All right. Thank
you. Goodbye.
Oh. Well, that was odd. Look, I'm sorry. I just don't seem to have much control over these things. Wow. Whew, that's going to take me a few minutes to digest that.
The only thing we have left from the outside world . The angels of Mu lead us to a strange staging area. My watch tells me it's approaching midnight. But isn't the sun still shining?
Yeah, thank you, Adam Greatrix, for an interesting ending to your last suburban transpondency.
The angels put all the money into a sack and hoist the sack up onto the idol.
Adam is still one of the most creative people out there in Canadian podcasting today, although there are times when, Adam, it is difficult to follow along when you're talking over yourself.
White is some sort of high priest.
I know, I'm guilty of doing the same thing from time to time. But sometimes I want to hear that voice, and you're sort of going, which one do I listen to? That one or that one? But anyway, I love these voices. I love the variety and the surprises you just drop into suburban transpondency.
He's speaking in tongues.
All right. Got to feed that out. Maybe keep it in the background a little bit, because I love those voices. It's a Wednesday afternoon, 4:15. I've just come from the college. I had to go in because Monday was canceled. Classes were canceled. But I have a test scheduled for 8:30 a.m. Friday that I would have prepared Monday, but I couldn't because the college was closed. So I had to go in and look after that. I shouldn't mention specifics here, but I will. It's sort of a tangent. Today has been such a strange day. I woke up to the 7 a.m. news, and of course the first thing I hear is this plane crash in Taiwan, just on takeoff from a small Taiwanese airline. And it was very disturbing because my son just flew out of Taiwan 2 days ago, and oh my God, you know, just the randomness of these things. But anyway, he's safe. He's in Singapore. But still has to board another flight to get him to Australia next week. So, you know, that was just disturbing to hear that. On top of yesterday's news of what ISIS has been up to, I'm not even going to go into that now. It's just too deeply disturbing and upsetting, and you've already heard me and my opinions and my rants. So I can't go any further. We know what happened in the Christian world, in the Middle Ages, and we moved past that, right? When people were silenced or put to death horrifically because of their beliefs, the heresy, we got past that. We fucking move forward. We fucking move forward, and we stop. We don't kill people for science anymore, all right? We don't do that. Or we don't do that because they have different beliefs. Anyway. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, it's so hard. Not jump in. Focus that psychic energy. Oh, my mankind. Ooh. All right. Stop that. Focus. Right after getting that announcement to the radio news of the plane crash, I got a text from my son saying, "Dad, everything's okay, but I lost my wallet last night." And, oh man, he's traveling. He's in Singapore. He's heading off to Indonesia. No, Malaysia. What's next to Singapore? I always confuse Indonesia and Malaysia, and I shouldn't. Malaysia, okay. And anyway, he'd taken care of it more or less, and I just called a local number and canceled a couple of cards from him, and we're fine. But meanwhile, my wife, of course, hears me on Skype, 7 in the morning, knowing something's wrong, and she is still hasn't recovered from the murder of the two Japanese innocents who were kidnapped by ISIS, and just it just creates a level of stress and upset, and it sort of brings it home. We all feel something hits home at certain times, right? We can tune out big things in the world. Oh, that's Nigeria. That's so far away. Who cares? I can't do that because I was in Maiduguri. I've been to these places, and it bothers me what's happening there. But we all have to sort of create these circles of how far out we can go to care, to feel, to worry. And we have to sort of protect layers and circles around ourselves just to stay sane. I know I'm bouncing around here. And it's suddenly just what I've said puts another thing into perspective. I started off saying I had to go into the college, and I noticed my paychecks are a lot smaller than they used to be. They have been since last fall. I was going to talk about unions, and I've worked in many, many, many jobs. I mean, I've had a lot of jobs in my life, and I've worked in many that were unionized workplaces, and whether or not I was a member of the union or not depended on how long I'd been there. And I remember being laid off. Actually, they told me I was fired from CP Express the day I would have become a full-time employee and a member of the union. And this is a tradition. Hire part-time workers, keep them up to the 3 months, boom, get rid of them. And I went in, demanded, said I'd never been fired from a job. I don't care if you lay me off or whatever, but you can't fire me because I didn't do anything wrong. And they, oh, okay, sure, just change the paperwork here. But our college, I'm where I'm a teacher, full-time employees are members of the of a union, and it's, I can't even remember which union it is now. Anybody who's partial load or part-time employees, like myself, only work a few hours a week, we are not. We're outside it. So my salary went mysteriously from what was at one time, I mean, and I'll say this, and it's because why not, $111 an hour to $75 an hour. That's not up. That's down. Now, if anybody says $111 an hour, you lucky fucker, that's a nice hourly wage. No, that's teaching hour. And for every teaching hour, you have to multiply that by 3 for the time it takes to set up your computer, for the marking time and all the others. And if you're very good and you're very fast, well, maybe it's just double the hours, you know. So cut that in half because the actual hours you're working are not the hours you're in the classroom, right? That's a start. But the point is, without any explanation, with no letter, with nothing at all, the hourly wage for the very, very same job I have went from September 2013, $111 an hour, January 2014, $111 an hour, to now, January 14, sorry, 13, to $75 an hour. Boom. Sorry. That's what you get paid. How do you do that? How do you drop a salary that much without a word of protest, and not one teacher dare make a fuss because, hey, maybe there won't be a job for you next time? That's just outrageous. That is just wrong. You know? Oh, well, we had to just, we realigned everything. And meanwhile, there's not a peep, there's not a union rep, there's nobody. And to me, okay, we're not members of the union still. We don't have a choice in the matter. Right? And I know some union reps are going to say, well, hey, we tried to get you registered a while ago and not enough people voted or whatever happened. But this is a case of what I think is a gross injustice without anybody raising a peep. Anyway, worse things are happening in the world, and so I'll just take my $75 an hour and my substantially dropped salary, and carry on. What can I do? And I don't say that for pity. I'm talking about, hey, this is an injustice. This is just one little wrong here. Wrong will be if fucking Stephen Harper gets voted back in again. And I don't know how we're going to stop that. You know, I really did not want to get in. I did not want this to be a bitch session. It's snowing. It's lovely. The ground is covered with snow. We've just had a major dumping and more coming. Oh, my Gestalt therapy. And I'm kind of inclined to give you updates here and there, what's going on. The big thing now that we're working on is that I live in my head. And if you ask me how I'm feeling, I'll fire out words, and all the words come from my head. And I said, no, take your hand away from your head, which I'm tapping. Put on your heart. What are you feeling? And I can't answer. I just say, well, no response, sorry. And this was kind of a thing that happened 40 years ago when I first went to group therapy. I seem to have a shut-off switch that shuts off my feeling side of things and lets the cerebral part of me answer everything. And it's really quite amazing that things just, boom, my answers, my responses, my opinions, my views, everything just sort of comes from the top. And so when I'm describing what's going on, I can do just an amazing job. You know, the words fire out and bam, I'm just, well, I've got it all the answers, but they're all coming from up top. And it's very hard for me to shut off the voices in my head and go down to that level, to the gut level, the feeling level, and see what's, let's stop a minute, what's really happening here? So I'm telling you that from my brain, from the uppermost part of my body, because that's where all the action takes place as a rule. And I got to work on that a little bit. I was talking about how when my wife backed out of the driveway yesterday and backed straight into a snowbank, not her fault, maybe the driveway could have been shoveled a little bit wider, but anyway, I sort of went out there with my shoes and no coat and my arms. I'm describing it to him and say, my arms are flailing and I'm giving instructions and weaving at her through the window. Don't turn the wheel. Go straight, you know, back up, pull forward. No, not so fast. Don't put your foot in the accelerator. Brake forward, you know, all just making a bit of a fuss, which was probably embarrassing to her and didn't help a lot. So I shoveled the driveway. I did a better job, cleared away the end, cleared the snow where the tires had just sort of spun right down to the ice on the pavement, and did a decent job of clearing it up. And this morning when she backed straight into a snowbank, I didn't do anything. I just watched from the upstairs window. So, I want to talk about my wife just a little bit. When I married this beautiful 24-year-old woman from Japan who I barely knew, but was madly in love with and passionate about and wanted nothing more in my life, I had no idea she could cook. I really didn't. I mean, there was no situation where it arose. And last night she made me a favorite, and it was chicken karage, and she had these chicken breasts, she cut them up. She asked me to help just a little bit to put in the shoyu, the special sauce, and a little bit of ginger, and add in the flour, and she just smashed it all up in her hands. She's trying to cut down all the sodium in her diet. She's so afraid. A friend, maybe even younger than her, had a stroke. And it's really given her a scare. So she made a separate batch of chicken karage. That's when you deep fry this chicken. And oh my gosh, it's so good. And on the plate was fresh Japanese style rice with nori, a dried seaweed. Pieces and pieces of fresh chicken karage. Oh God, I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. And horenso, fresh spinach, just boiled and mixed with, like, sesame oil. Oh, it is just such a wonderful, simple, but delightful dish. And I'm just so lucky to have my very own personal Japanese chef, believe me. I'm spoiled, spoiled, spoiled. Anyway, boy, where have we gone on this little clip? It's been nuts. I'm still trying to do my 3 pages a day. In fact, I should race home right now and do some. I don't know if I mentioned that I went back and found all the blogs that I had written. I don't think so. And I had one for on becoming a counselor, and I had another one for a mediator. And, of course, I've got my 10-year-old Dixon Jane's blog post. Well, there's nothing really written there, but it is a blog. And a lot of writing, because I took all these courses, anywhere from my mediation training to the counselor courses to teaching courses, and kept written records of them. And so this is back in the idea of, yeah, I do write. I can write, and I am productive. I've done a lot of shit. And I copied and pasted clips from those blog posts about, you know, why I'm not going to be a writer. In fact, that was one of them, and why I'm ready to be a mediator. And it was just kind of interesting. So, again, those of you asking for updates, or not asking, but getting them anyway, on my writing, I really am pretty well settled on the idea of just putting out blog posts here and there, and they will be probably under the Baby Sally Talks blog, and then I'll have to start a new thing for the podcast that I want to do that follow this. I have more or less written off PodCamp Toronto. I had talked a lot about, gee, what am I going to talk about, as if I really needed to. I feel kind of bad because there's hardly anything up there. I mean, it was such late notice, them confirming the dates. There's nothing posted in terms of, I mean, Anthony's doing one, and Danielle Rossi. Very, very few people have actually committed to doing this. This could be a disaster, unless they get more people saying, yeah, yeah. This might be a time when we actually need the marketers, just so we can not go to them. The monetizers. Anyway, I guess that's it. This has been such a hodgepodge of confusion, but I'm going to go home now. I'm going to do some more writing and see if I can't straighten my head out and fix me. I am enjoying. The one thing that I am getting out of this, the weekly sessions with a counselor, and that's a person who just sort of gives you a little feedback, doesn't tell you what to do, but might give you some chores or some exercises or some suggestions, is that I am beginning to understand what he means by process and doing things step by step, as opposed to my initial reaction. I want to be there. I want it done. I want it finished. I want this enlightenment. I want everything to happen now. To slowing down the pace and recognizing, you know, things happen in stages. And I've always known that, but don't always act on that. And the other thing is just to be a little more patient. And I'm getting better at that with my number two son and with my wife. And actually, I felt good about today when I did get Skype my son from Singapore to actually give him some fatherly advice that he appreciated. He just felt a little anxious and worried and stressed and wondering what he's doing with his life at the age of 25. And I'm like, oh my God, 25. Don't even start to worry about it. But there is more pressure. I talked about it with my number two son today too. He said, no, but Dad, it's not like when you were young. And it's very true. When I was young, hey, man, you got all the time in the world. Do what you want. Go out there. Have some adventure, you know. There were jobs to be picked up whenever you needed them. And it is much, much harder now. But I did, you know, talk about making the most of the journey he's on and the one who's heading off to Australia. And hey, if it doesn't work out, just turn around and come back. No problem. So, that's it. That is it. It's time to just end this now. And fade out with Adam. That must be a fire.
Good part, then I realized I started looking and the bubble burst. I started looking for excuses. Come on in, I've gotta tell you what a state I'm in. I've gotta tell you in my loudest tones that I started looking for a warning sign. When the truth is, I miss you. Yeah, the truth is that I miss you so. Cruel.